Tonight, we're going to look at some strong servants of the Lord. Strong servants of the Lord. Daniel chapter 3. We'll begin reading in verse 13. The Bible says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, tonight we are grateful for the strength of the Lord. And we're grateful, God, that it is a never-ending supply. We're grateful for the strength that you gave us last week, just as much as for the strength you've given us today. Just as much as for the strength that you will give us tomorrow. God, I pray that you would speak to all of us through your word tonight as we examine this matter of being strong servants of the Lord. And Father, that when we leave here in a few moments, that we would have our faith strengthened for having been with your people in your house around your word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 week, we will celebrate our 41st anniversary. And as we look back and see all that God has accomplished, I simply want to give us a reminder tonight as to how God has done this work. Realizing this is not a new discovery or some type of revelation, I just want to remind us that God has blessed us here at FBT with strong servants. Now, when we think back to the churches that are mentioned here in the Word of God, we realize, obviously, none of them are in existence today. We look back and even here in our own area can think of churches that no longer exist, or at least no longer exist under the same theological premise and foundation on which they were founded. Maybe the building is still there, but the name has changed and the doctrine has changed and really not serving God in the same fashion under the same principles on which they were once established. But here in our passage before us, we have a shining example of some strong servants of the Lord. And although they were not involved in serving in the temple in an official capacity per se, these three men were very much involved in serving God. I would ask you tonight, when we think about our service to the Lord, are you prepared to take a stand for God? Are you so committed to God that it doesn't matter what others may say? It doesn't matter what trials may come your way. One thing is certain, God is going to always be on the throne of your life. Now, when we talk about service, it really ought to be, particularly in this day and age in which we live, where we put an extra emphasis on our God and not be ashamed of the fact that you and I serve the one true God. In this current society in which we live, it seems like everyone is trying to downplay the one true God. And well, listen, you can have your gods and you can have your gods and we're all just one big happy family. But that's exactly what had happened right here in the passage before us. The exact same scenario. In fact, the societal pressure was much greater here than it even is in our current day and age. And yet, at the same time, we see that these men did not cave to that pressure. They were concerned with serving Jehovah at any cost. Now, when we think of serving, it ought to be that we have a certain pride in the God that we serve. And I don't mean this in a sinful or selfish way, but in a spiritual fashion of being grateful for what our God has done in our lives, from where He has brought us and to where He is taking us. I'm grateful for the fact that we can look back over four decades and see wonderful, marvelous things that God has done here at Fairfax Baptist Temple. I'm equally excited about what the future has in store, believing that, yes, we still have tremendous things that God wants to do in and through His people as you and I will seek to be strong servants of the Lord. It was interesting back at the beginning of this year. In February, Nate received a phone call from a place that he had dropped off an application last either November or December in anticipation of Christmas vacation, trying to get a part-time job. Happened to be at Chick-fil-A, and they called him back and said, "We want you to come in for an interview." And so he went in, and to make a long story short, went through the process and received the job. But you know, there's been one thing that we have learned as a family since that point in time that Nate continues working for Chick-fil-A. And if you want to go bother him, he's down at the one off of Prince William County Parkway. But, you know, the one thing that we have learned is now, whenever we happen to go to any other fast food restaurant, he is very quick to point out the ways in which they are not serving their customers like they do at Chick-fil-A. He will tell us, "Hey, you know, we would never allow the uniform to be sloppy like that. We would never allow the food to be served in that fashion. We would never allow the store to be dirty like this." And goes down the list, and he's very quick to point out, "Yeah, you know, that's not the way we would do things." And of course, the one thing that we are trying desperately to break him of, and those of you that have been in any way connected or are connected to Chick-fil-A, you know there is one thing that somehow is inbred in you, and that is whenever you say thank you, the immediate response is, "My pleasure." Well, we've told him, when we tell him thank you at the house, he really doesn't have to respond to us by saying, "My pleasure." You know, "Your welcome" is still okay from time to time. But you know, it ought to be that when it comes to our service to God, that you and I are proud of the fact that we serve the one true living God, and that we can make an infinite list of comparisons to other gods where our God is head and shoulders above the rest. And what a joy it is to know that we see here in our passage these men who did not compromise when the time of trial and sacrifice presented itself. You see here, these men were going about their life, seeking to fulfill the daily tasks that were assigned to them, and really did not think anything different about what was taking place. Now, we realize that they were in a pagan land. They were in captivity. We realize that they did not have the privilege of engaging in the free, liberal worship that they had enjoyed before coming under this rule. But at the same time, we realize that there were some societal pressures that were put upon them to cause them to change the worship of their God. But isn't it wonderful that we see here that these men had a tremendous testimony? That it was not that these men were going out and trying to deliberately rub salt in a wound, if you would, and try and condemn the whole rest of the world that was there. They simply were strong servants of God. And they said, "We don't care if the king puts out an edict, if the king passes a law, if the king makes it mandatory that everyone bow down and worship a false god. It makes no difference to us. Our lives are not going to change. They're going to be as always. We are going to continue doing what we know is right because we serve the one true living God." And it's interesting, of course, that those had seen him, had seen them, were the ones that went to the king Nebuchadnezzar and said, "Are you aware of what's going on?" And of course, Nebuchadnezzar, the proud, egotistical man that he was furious to think that someone would not worship according to his fashion and according to his desire, and would not worship the tremendous image that had been erected there. And he comes to them and he says, "I hear about you all. And I hear that you all are not serving my gods." You know, when we talk about serving God, it's important that we realize that the God that we serve is a personal God. You ought to be able to say with absolute conviction in your heart, yes, I serve my God, Jehovah. But you see here, the king, of course, was not talking about Jehovah. He was not talking about the one true God. And of course, their response is what underlines for us the fact that they meant business regarding their service to God. Their loyalty was absolutely unwavering. You know, you stop and think about some excuses. The Life Application Bible points out a number of different scenarios that they could have very easily gone through. And I think oftentimes we as Christians, even today, may use some of these excuses to try and consider okay what is really idolatry and not serving God with all of our heart. You see, they could have said, we will bow down, but we won't worship the idol. You know, they could have said, all right, well, outwardly, we may bow down, but in our heart, we're not really doing this. But they didn't make that choice. They did not so decide to say, well, we'll go ahead with the outward appearance, because their hearts were completely given over to the Lord. They had that strength that was there. It was an abundant source of strength that was able to sustain them in the most difficult hour of their lives. They could have also said, well, you know, the king is the one who's got all the power, and so therefore we have to obey him. Because after all, the king is the one who has the power of taking our lives from us. With just issuing an order could immediately call for our heads to roll. They didn't respond that way either. And as they continued through all of the different scenarios and looking and saying, well, you know, the king actually is the one who has appointed us to these positions here in the government, as they're alluded to in verse 12. So certainly that's what our boss is expecting of us, and he's the one that we have to follow through with here. But no, that did not cause them. That was not sufficient pressure to cause them to compromise and not worship God. They could have also looked back with shame and reflected on the children of Israel and their somewhat unfaithful service to God and inconsistent service to God, and could have very easily said, well, there have been some times where they've even brought some false gods into the temple. And so certainly it wouldn't be that big of a deal if we just worshiped this one occasion, this false god. But no, that was not their reasoning either. And all of these things, you know, they could have considered saying, well, you know, if we do go ahead and worship this false god and this image that has been erected here, that then it won't really affect anyone else in a negative fashion, because everybody else is already worshiping this false god. And so it won't really hurt anyone. No, that was not the case either. But I want us to realize here that sometimes when we talk about serving God and when we talk about worshiping God and we think about what God's will is in our lives, we have to be careful about committing God to things that he's really never said or never promised in his word. Because, you know, it would have been very easy for them to have come back to the king and said, we know for a fact, O king, you can try and throw us in that fiery furnace, but we will come out walking. But they didn't do that. Because truthfully, they did not know what the end of the story was going to be. They weren't able to read to the end of chapter 3 and say, hang on, guys, it's going to be all right. No, but they said, king, what you don't realize is the God that we serve, if he so chooses, he can and will save us. But even if he doesn't choose to save us, we are not about to bow the knee and serve your false god. And sometimes when we think of serving the Lord today, if we're not careful, we can put quote unquote, demands on God and say, well, God, I know this is going to turn out like this. And God, you have to do this here because I am your servant. And Lord, this person just has to get saved because, God, I've prayed for them and I just know it has to happen. And Lord, this person over here, they just have to get called and because, God, I'm praying for them. And Lord, this person over here, they've just got to get healed. And because after all, God, that's what I'm praying for. What we always have to make certain when we talk about our service to God is that we are more concerned about seeing that God gets the glory than that our will be done. Not an easy choice for them. Because when we talk about this furnace that was here, we realize this was something that was already built. This was not something that, well, maybe the king's going to change his mind and it's really not going to come into play after all. It's not going to actually be constructed. No. It's already there. And, you know, sometimes you and I may say, well, you know, Lord, if you don't mind, you'll excuse this here, won't you? Because after all, God, in the end result, even though what I'm doing now might be a little bit wrong, a little bit displeasing to you, the end result, God, is that it's going to be right. Reminded of what Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, it's never right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. Sometimes we say, well, it's okay in this circumstance here. I mean, couldn't they have said, well, if we just compromise this one little time, then let's think about all of the years of continued ministry and the impact that we'll be able to have on our fellow Jews. But that was not God's will. And so they came to the king and they said, King, we want to make one thing clear. We don't know what the end of the story is. We do not know what God is going to do. But we do know one thing. We serve our God and Him alone. And if it is His will, He most certainly will deliver us. Now you see, that, my friend, is a strong faith. That is what can cause one to say, Lord, we will go around the globe and we will take the gospel to a people that we don't know and we will subject ourselves to lower living standards than what we're accustomed to here in the U.S. and even to dangerous political situations. And God, we don't know what the end result is going to be in terms of our physical well-being, but we are confident that this is what God wants us to do and we're not going to compromise regarding our service to the Lord. And how easy it is for any of us to sit back and say, well, you know, I don't really need to get involved in this particular ministry over here because there's somebody else that can help out with this. And, you know, I don't really need to go ahead over here and be involved in this particular aspect because there's so-and-so over here and they can do it too. And if we all begin to develop attitudes like that, we see very quickly that God's work does not get accomplished the way that He wants it to if we as His servants would have a greater level of trust in Him. But what is your trust in the Lord? How concerned are you with doing God's will? Someone has said hard work spotlights the character of people. Some turn up their sleeves, some turn up their noses, and some don't turn up at all. Here they are. Prime case. Front page headlines. Rebels going against the king's wishes. Trying to consider themselves superheroes. But you see, Nebuchadnezzar did not realize who he was going up against. You may be the only person in your office that knows the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. You may have all kinds of pressure around you to cause you not to talk about God. To cause you to be absolutely mute regarding your faith. But let's keep in mind, our God is stronger than their God. And you see, when we think about representing the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere we go, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, just as much as on Sunday. What God is looking for is men and women and young people who will say, no, my loyalty to God is absolutely unwavering because God is my only God. Look with me in verse 18 where the Bible says, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. It's important for us to realize here that they could have been very arrogant in their response to the king, but they haven't done that in this passage here in any way. They weren't thumbing their nose at what the king's demand was. They were just firm in their conviction. We think about the world around us and we think about those that do not know Jesus Christ. And we say, hey, listen, you know, I don't want to hear about all this God stuff. And we don't have to go out everywhere we go and, you know, have a flashing red light on our shirt or have some special sign on our car that says, you know, hey, this is the way to get to heaven in terms of you've got to come talk to me right now and I've got to give you the answer. But we can and should everywhere we go always be looking for an opportunity to demonstrate to others, I've got one God that I serve and his name is Jehovah, whose son is Jesus Christ. And that ought to be everywhere we go. Then we realize, of course, when the king Nebuchadnezzar heard this, he was not real excited. In fact, he told them to take that furnace and heat it up 7 times hotter than it was already heated. And took the strongest men that he had to cast them in bound into that fire. And as those men came, of course, the scriptures indicate for us that they died just at the heat at the door, not going into it. And, you know, you have to wonder, as these 3 men are now cast into the furnace, if there was not a little bit of reflection on what David had said in Psalm 2:11, where he said, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Keeping in mind, again, these men had the same flesh and blood that you and I have. They knew what fire does to a human body, just like you and I do. They knew that the king meant business. They realized there that, humanly speaking, there was no hope for them. And I'm sure their hearts were probably beating a little bit fast at that moment. But the wonderful thing is, they continued to serve God even in the fire. We think of the strong servants that God has given to us at Fairfax Baptist Temple, and we look back over 4 decades. And those who have not fallen by the wayside, and those who have remained strong to God, are the ones who have been tested by the fire and have continued in their resolve to keep God first. The testing and the fire comes in different ways for different people. But to all of us, we will be tried. The question is whether or not we will come forth, as Job says, as gold. I'm equally grateful when we think of serving the Lord, of what David says in Psalm 100, where he reminds us, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. And it ought to be that, yes, it is a joy to serve God. Yes, you are grateful for the privilege of playing in an orchestra, singing in a choir, working in a nursery, helping as an usher, mowing the lawn. You look forward to opportunities of coming and serving because you're not serving man, you're serving your master. You have that as the desire of your heart. Think of what the Lord reminds us through Moses when he said in Deuteronomy chapter 10. In fact, turn there for just a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and in verse 20. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things, which thine eyes have seen. How is it that the Lord has worked here, Fairfax Baptist Temple? It's through servants who are committed to fearing God, serving him, and cleaving unto him. And those who really have that commitment know that it's not always the most convenient thing to do. Know that there have been plenty of times when they've had to make a decision. Am I going to go to church or am I going to stay home and take care of this project? Am I going to help out in the nursery today, or am I going to let somebody else do it? Am I going to teach my Sunday school class and prepare this, or just let somebody else pick up the slack? You know, you might be here tonight and you might find yourself a little bit discouraged. You might be saying, wow, you know, I don't feel as though people are aware of my service to God. But let's just keep in mind why we serve. We don't serve to please man, but we serve to please our Lord. Why is it that these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, could go before the king and say, all right, if it's your choice, we're going into the furnace, because one thing is for sure, we're not going to stop serving our God. Well, the reason they could say that was because they were not doing that out of force, but they were doing that out of the fear of the Lord. They loved God. I mean, keep in mind, at this venture in the history of Israel, there's not some great leader that is out there. Daniel is the prophet, and he certainly had a message for the children of Israel, but they didn't have a strong leader that was out there. There was no big support team that Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego could say, all right, guys, we're being called to the front. If you don't mind, increase your prayers. Didn't happen. But you see, it did not in any way diminish their service to God, because the reason they were serving God was because they wanted to please him. Why are you serving? Well, you know, I've just been in this slot for so long and there's nobody else to do it. It ought to be that you say, wait a minute. The reason I'm serving is God has given me these gifts, and I've got to use them for his honor and glory through the local church where God has placed me. And God has placed me at Fairfax Baptist Temple, and it's my privilege to take the gifts that the Holy Spirit has endowed me with and use them for God's honor and glory. Maybe when the fire came, figuratively speaking, in your life, you withdrew from service. You took a step back and said, well, you know, I just need a rest. But keep in mind, when we talk about stopping service, now I'm not talking about when you've got physical problems or you've got something that has arisen in your life, but when we stop, when we've got every possibility of continuing forward, and we just decide, kind of burned out a little bit on this right now, that's when we become more susceptible to the attacks of the devil. And what God wants from each of us as strong servants of the Lord is a consistent commitment to a holy God. You know, it was interesting when David was talking to Solomon, realizing the task of building the temple was no small feat. He told him specifically, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. One of the things that I certainly desire and pray with my being is that God will at no point in my life take me and put me on a shelf. But I realize there are plenty who over the years have said, it's not for me. They've stepped aside. You know, and they may come. But when it comes to their service to the Lord, they begin to waver somewhat. And it's not that they've simply taken their talents and funneled them into a different ministry or funneled them into a more needy spot. But they just stop and say, well, no, it's not for me. No, and we can look back and we can certainly think of those that were faithful in serving at one point in time and then they stop serving and then they stop attending and then you see sometimes you run into them in the grocery store in the area or you see them when you're out and you just realize all the blessings they've missed out on. Not because they got old and had a life of service to the Lord, but just they stopped when they still had plenty of time and energy and just decided, nah, it's not for us. And everything they've lost out on. All of the rejoicing that we have had as a church family when we see God touch hearts and speak to souls. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord. And don't allow the fires to cause you to waver. Someone said, you know, Lord, how I serve you with great emotional fervor in the limelight. You know how eagerly I speak for you at a women's club. You know how I effervesce when I promote a fellowship group. You know my genuine enthusiasm at a Bible study. But how would I react, I wonder, if you pointed to a basin of water and asked me to wash the calloused feet of a bent and wrinkled old woman day after day, month after month, in a room where nobody saw and nobody knew. Why do you serve? I hope it's out of a desire truly to be used of God. You know what's wonderful is as God manifests himself there in verse 25, where there are four men, not just three. The form of the fourth is like the Son of God, the Bible says. You know what's wonderful is all of this now comes to fruition. And then let's look and see what Nebuchadnezzar says in verse 26. He came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. You know what can happen when you go through the fire and you are consistent in your service to God? You may have a medical worker, a nurse, or a doctor who sees your strong faith and realizes, I've been serving the wrong God. You are the one who's serving the right God. You may have a neighbor that knows you've been going through a hard time. And they see your unwavering commitment to God and keeping Him first and being faithful to His house. And even though they don't understand it, they may come up to you and say, I want what you've got. There may be a coworker who, although he may not come to your defense when others mock and ridicule you, he sees your consistent godly attitude day in and day out. And the time may come when he comes up to you when no one else is around and he says, I've watched you, I've examined you, and I want what you've got. Wouldn't that be wonderful to look back and say, wow, the fire was worth it all. The trial was worth it all. Because now others realize there is one true God, and it is Jehovah. And then it is interesting because at this point in time, Nebuchadnezzar takes another great step. And in verse 28, he says, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. What a turn of events. The very mockers and scoffers and those that were ridiculing their service to God. Now the tables have been turned. Can you imagine what it would be like if President Obama were to make a statement like that from the White House? That all defamatory speech against Jehovah God, your life will come to an end. But I ask you tonight, are you a strong servant of the Lord? You're going to have others that are going to ask you about your faith. You may have other brothers and sisters in Christ who may try and even encourage you not to be as involved as you are. But why do you do what you do? Why do you help in the nursery? Why do you serve in Awanas? Why do you use your voice for the Lord? May God help all of us to truly say, I do it for my Lord. I do it because I know that my Savior gave His all on the cross. And the least I can do is serve Him until Jesus returns.